All right, let's preach. We got a short time. You ready? You ready? Come on, let's juice it up and move. Come on. Don't worry, Chris. I got it. We got it. All right. Thanks, Chris. Here we go. We'll wait for Phyllis. Go ahead, Phyllis. Take your time. It's no worries. We're just, you know, take your time, Phyllis. All right, now we can bounce. Come on. Here we go. Phyllis is like, honey, are you sure this is God's plan? Are you sure you want to be around these people? Come on. I love it. Come on, Matthew 16, please. We got to cruise. Matthew 16. But such an important day to truly honor the Dorito family and what they've meant to this house and this family, and to truly see what God is going to be doing through continued ministry here at BC as we continue to grow, just looking for the right pieces and the right people to do what God's called us to do to reach a region, This is just the beginning, Believers Chapel. Hope you know. Man, this is just the beginning. Until the Lord returns, man, if he would just wait and if he would tarry, we're going to do everything possible we can do to share the good news and the gospel just straight as we can preach it straight, to really understand that this is truth and we all live it out. And we come to this place to understand the truth of God's word. And to do that, man, we are being well equipped with great people to get the gospel out. And this is just the beginning, man. Come on. Come on, let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful. Thank you for this series, this time that we've had in Matthew 16. Jesus, these are your words. These are your words. These are your words. And Jesus, I'm asking that you would deposit them into our spirit today. If there's any change that needs to take place in our spirits, God, by your spirit, do a change in us today. Open our eyes to see exactly what we need to see. Open our ears to hear exactly what we need to hear today. And God, that our heart would come to this place to respond to you today, to respond to you today, to lay down ourselves and say yes to you today in anything that you would speak into our spirit today. Jesus, thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful, and we will adhere to it this morning, and we'll preach it today like we believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, BC, I want you to read the word like you believe it, like live on it, lean on it, eat it, speak it like you believe it, right? It is the truth. And today, man, these are Jesus' words, Matthew 16. We've kind of, just to catch you up, if you're new to BC, I'm going to go fast today. So just buckle up. Come on, are you ready? Yeah. All right. I like that. Man, second service got some juice today. Here we go. Amen. Coffee, Teresa made the coffee today, so it was like thick. Amazing. We like thick black coffee that's just going to keep you up for days. So we're ready to roll. Come on. But listen, I just want you to know, man, we are pumped and we've been in this series. This is our fourth week in the bubble wrap church. And when I define the bubble wrap church, people think, oh, you think the church needs to be bubble wrapped? And I love this because it causes great conversation outside of church. No, actually just the opposite. I think the church has been bubble wrapped and I think it's time to take the bubble wrap off the church. And I'm not talking BC, I'm talking about church in a sense where people think that we're fragile and people think that we're weak and people think the church is in a desperate place. The church is falling apart. The church is breaking. Oh, look at this. The wheels are falling off the church. And when we come to a place, when you get a package that's bubble wrapped in the mail, it's got this big sticker on it that says, fragile, handle with care. And as we've been so bold and so clear in the last 3 weeks to really define that the bubble wrap needs to come off the church because we're not weak, we're not fragile, the wheels aren't falling off. This is Jesus' work. He is the King of Kings. He will continue it. It's not going anywhere until he says it's over. And he gave a prophesied statement and said, I will build my church, and that is continuing. And it's time to take the bubble wrap off the church and be ready for war and be ready for battle as Jesus Christ has called us to the front lines. Can you agree with me on that? Amen? Here we go. Come on. Matthew 16, verse 13, we're going to read through it. Come on, this is recap for a second. Come on. Now when Jesus came in the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said to him, and you know it, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, and I love this, man, I can see this direct eye contact. When Jesus makes this direct eye contact, he says, well, who do you say that I am? Hey, you've walked me, you've talked me, you've seen everything, you've been closer to me than anybody else. Who do you say that I am? And I love this because this defines what other people might say compared to what Jesus' followers might say. Don't miss this. Well, others say, okay, great, but what do you say? And I love this because Simon Peter comes up with this bold answer. Well, you got to remember, man, They've walked with Jesus. They've talked with Jesus. They've laughed with Jesus. They've been amazed at Jesus. Jesus speaks to the storms. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus raises the dead. Unbelievable. They've seen it all. They've heard his teaching and amazed at his teaching. So when he turns to them and says, who do you say that I am? You've got people's opinion, but what's your opinion? And Peter says this, and this is the foundation of this whole series. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is who we know you to be. This is who we believe you to be. This is what we know. This is who we say you are. This is what we know. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. This is huge. Like, you got to understand this from Old Testament, right from Genesis 3:15, from the very beginning, Jesus is prophesied to be the seed that would take out the enemy. And you come to this place through the Old Testament, through the whole Old Testament, there is one that's coming. There's one that's coming through a virgin. There's one that's going to be born in Bethlehem. There's one that's going to be coming called the child, the Son of God. There's one that's coming that's going to be the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah. Prophesied, 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 waiting for the Messiah. And Peter says, you're him. You're the one. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one that we've read about. You're the one that's been prophesied. This is what we know. We know that you are the anointed one. We know that you are the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And then Jesus is like, oh, that's amazing. And listen, please hear this. Jesus never asks a question he doesn't already know the answer to. Jesus never asked a question that he didn't know how it was going to be answered. Sir, he asked a question knowing that Peter would get it right. So then he goes on to the next statement and say, listen, you didn't reveal this to yourself. Heaven revealed this to you. And you, Peter, upon this rock, we talked about this, his review, speaking about the statement that he made that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone to the church, that Jesus Christ is the rock on which the foundation of the church is built on. And it's only on Jesus. And then he comes to a place. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Verse 18, then I say to you, Peter, that upon this rock, and I believe it's meaning the statement, meaning Jesus, we covered that. He says this, I will build my church. I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. We've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. When Jesus Christ, we see this amazing picture. We covered in Revelation 4 and 5, this amazing picture of who Jesus is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Jesus said, I will build my church. Listen, when Jesus says something, it's going to happen. When the King of Kings says, this is the way it's going to be, guess what? That's the way it's going to be. And there's absolutely no one and nothing that will ever get in the way of Jesus Christ building his church. So there's a confidence in this. There's a hope in this. There's a fearlessness in this. There's a boldness in this. There's courage in this. When Jesus Christ said, hey, Sean, get it. I'm going to build my church and I'm not stopping until I return. So guess what, BC? Jesus Christ is still building his church today. It's not fragile. The wheels aren't coming off. It doesn't need to be bubble wrapped. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who's all powerful and everywhere all at once, can come to a place to say, hey, listen, it's going to be okay. Right? And isn't it amazing that he is using you and I continuously today? And if he waits another 100 years, guess what will be happening in 100 years without us? Well, some of us, probably all of us, is he still going to be building his church? It's amazing that we get to do it in the very season that we are in. It's amazing. It's amazing that we get to be a part of building his church. Do you understand the reality of that? I was born August 15th. My birthday's coming up. Sweet gifts for me. Hey, here we go. I'm kidding. Do not get me a gift. My wife is buying me something from my Jeep. It's going to be a light bar. It's going to be fantastic. I loved my ride home in the Jeep last night. She's like, I don't like this. Like, it's all right. Snuggle up, honey. Snuggle up. Here we go. But the reality is when you come to a place to understand, I was born August 15th, 1969. And guess what Jesus was doing August 15th, 1969? Building his church. That was 50 years ago. It'll be 51 on August 15th. Guess what Jesus is going to do another 50 years from now? He's going to be building his church. Isn't it amazing? But this is true for every single one of us in this room today and every single person watching online, that you come to a place to believe that he gave me a birth date knowing that I would be in this particular place in this particular time in this very crazy season of life that everybody is going through for a particular reason. And that reason is he's still building his church and he put us here together right now in this season for a particular, come on, for a particular moment in a season of time. It says in the craziness of everything that's going on. You know what Jesus is doing? Building his church. You know what he's using? He's using you and me to do that. And this is a continuous pattern that is still happening today. Come on, you got to know your time and your season. You got to know your time and your season. I love this. Here we go. Come on, let's continue reading. This is all review. Come on, you're getting it. Here we go. He says this, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We talked about that. The gates of Hades will not overpower it. That's amazing to preach. We preached that last week. We talked about the gates of Hades, meaning the significance of death. And then Jesus came, put himself on a cross and conquered death, ripped the enemy's teeth right out of his faith, said, you have no power over death anymore. I dealt with the death issue. It's done forever. The power of the cross, the blood sacrifice, dealt with death forever. Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the enemy stands powerless. He's a dog with no teeth, man. Got a lot of bark, but he's got no bite when it comes to death. Watch this. Here it is. Here it is. Verse 19. Are you ready? Are you ready? Again, he says, I will give you. He says, I will build my church. And this is huge. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. And then he goes into something, and this is so powerful. You cannot miss this. Once again, he says, I will give you. I will build. We know it's going to happen. And then he says, I will give. Who? You. Listen. Have you ever been around somebody that says, hey, I'm going to do this, and then they don't do it? And you're like, figures. But when our Lord and Savior says, hey, I'm going to give you. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Okay, we're going to define that in a minute, but first we have to get the I will give you first. Because Jesus Christ never says, I'm going to give you something and then renege on it. He doesn't do the carrot before the horse. You never get to get it. You're never going to get it. Just keep running. You're never going to get the carrot. You're never going to get the... That's not our Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Right? When he says, listen, I will give you. It is his desire. He says, I will give you. Sean, get it? I will give you. It is yours if you take it. I will give you. Watch this now. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know what this means? This is so huge. This is his divine authority. Church, you've got to get this because we have been given something by our Lord, by our Master, and by our Savior, where Jesus says, listen, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in that, you need to know, I'm also going to give you something that gets you through any attack that the enemy would have, anything that the world would have to throw at you. I will give you the divine authority to overpower, to bind and to loose. That which is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. That which is loosed on earth has been loosed in heaven. And you got to understand verse 19. If we are really going to believe, okay, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah. Upon you, we are building the rock. You are the foundational stone. You're the cornerstone. And then he says, listen, okay, great. I'm going to build my church. Awesome. The gates of hell will not prevail. Cool. But hey, wait. He says, I will give you divine authority. Church, what happens when you never tap into that divine authority? When Jesus says, I'll give it to you. I will give you divine authority. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That keys to the kingdom of heaven, that means his divine authority. It's like somebody who owns a Ferrari that sits in the garage. Useless. How many miles you got on that Ferrari? 10? Why? Because I collect. Okay, but that thing's got juice, man. Come on. Fire that thing up. Let's go for a drive. Listen, I'll send a decoy ahead. They'll get the cops out of the way. And then let's just hit it, baby. Let's see what this Ferrari can do. No, it just sits in the garage. And you're just like, again, there's collectors that are like, dude, you don't get it. I know I don't. It's a Ferrari. It's a beast of a vehicle. And it's collecting poop. Like, let's put it to use, man. Come on. Put the pedal down and let's jam this thing. But what happens when you have this? Please hear it. What happens when you have been given divine authority and you park it in the garage and you never take it out? Now, please, we want to clarify a little bit here on binding and loosing, because this has been grossly taken over, where I'm going to loose $1 million into my being, and I'm just going to speak it out, and it's going to happen. Church, you got to be so careful with that. That's not what this means. This isn't binding and loosing for your own benefit. Because when we understand, even in Matthew 6, we don't have time to go there, but even in Matthew 6, it might actually even be up on the screen. When you go to Matthew 6 and Jesus is, he's gone into the hills and he's praying and he comes off the mountain and the disciples just see something particular about Jesus. Like, listen, you've got to teach us to pray. How do we do that? How do we pray? And I love it, because if you can put that up, I don't know if it's up there or not, but if you could put that up there, it's just simple. He says, listen, pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There it is. Your kingdom come. Listen, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come, binding on earth as in heaven, loosing on earth as in heaven. Here it is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is where? As it is in heaven. So when we come to a place to say, okay, God, I guess I need your divine authority, but watch this, please, this is the message right here. This is where it is. I need your divine authority, but God, it has to come through a divine perspective. Listen, I know that you said, listen, Sean, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Sean, you need to function from a divine authority. I will give it to you. Sean, you got to use it. You got to function from it. But when you pray, it's got to be your will be done. As Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, not my will, but let your will be done. I love this. Come on, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Church, what happens when there's a breakthrough in your spirit? What happens when there's a very real change in your perspective to say, I want your divine authority. But man, if I'm binding and loosing here on the earth that has been in heaven, then I need a heavenly perspective on my world. What happens when you start putting this into effect? I'm going to function in my divine authority in my marriage. I'm going to function in my divine authority in my parenting. I'm going to function in my divine authority in my finances. I'm going to function into my divine authority in what God says is right and wrong. Not popular opinion, not public opinion, not political opinion, not family opinion. What does God say? If I really say, okay, I'm functioning not in an authority that's my own, but it is a heavenly divine authority, then it has to be done under a heavenly divine perspective. Because when the reality is, my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. World opinion doesn't matter. Popular opinion doesn't matter. Political opinion doesn't matter when it varies and is contrary, when all of these opinions are different from what God's word says, or they're aggressively going to come against God's word. And you say, no, I'm going to function from a divine authority. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he says, listen, Sean, I will give you. That's a promise. Sean, I will give you divine authority. But you, whatever, everybody say whatever. That's a broad term. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. Come on, don't own a Ferrari and put 10 miles on it and think you've done the Ferrari anything that it's been made for. Don't come in to reality of life to say, I have been given this divine authority over my marriage and over my children and over my finances and over what God says is right, and my boldness and my stance to stand against that which is wrong, to stand bold and fearless for who God is and what he has done. I've been given that divine authority, but it has to come through a divine perspective. It has to come through a biblical lens. What does God say about it? That is such a deep-rooted, simple question. It's deep, but it's simple. It's deep in a sense that there's very, very few people who want to hear what God says about it. But you come to a place and say, what does God say about it? And I'm just going to do that. Because listen, if you're a follower of Christ and he was speaking here to his disciples, hey, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. You're the one. You're the Messiah. Okay, great. Listen, I'm going to build my church. You're going to be a part of it. And the gates of hell cannot overpower it. Oh, by the way, guys, listen, I'm going to give you divine authority. My perspective. What do I have to say about something? If you're walking in a place as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ, your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. I don't have a right to my opinion. You say that today, people will freak out. But when I've come to that place to be saved, when I've come to that place to surrender, when I've come to that place to see how great our God is, that all things for his glory, I can honestly come to a place to say, if I want to function in the divine authority that's been given to me, I have to do it through a biblical lens. If you're in a place in your marriage, what happens? Watch this. Let's just talk for a minute. I'm coming right here. I'm not going to fall off, Renee. I'm going to stand right here. If I move, catch me. Pastor Dave will catch me. He loves me. He won't let me fall. But what happens, watch this, when you're walking in a place in your marriage and you're saying, God, I want divine authority in my marriage. I want your divine authority to overtake my marriage. Listen, you've got to do it through a divine perspective of the Word of God. Husbands, come on, know your place and own your space in your home. You are the head of that house. Act like it. You're the head of that house. Talk like it. You're the head of that house. You are spiritually responsible for your home. And you need to own that. If you want God's perspective and you want divine authority, then you got to do it God's way. You are the head of that house. You are the man in that home. You're the accountable spiritual leader of your house. Act like it. Talk like it. Be like it. You walk in a place and say, I'm going to love my wife as Christ loved the church. You want to rearrange your marriage? Do your part, husbands. As a man who says, listen, Jesus Christ gave us the formula as men to walk in a place to love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means her needs and her desires first as you sacrifice for her, because that's what Jesus is. That means that you serve her. That means that you protect her. That means that you provide for her. You work your 40 hours. You work your 50 hours. If there's overtime and you need it, you work it. Because you're called to provide for your wife. And you come to this place, husband, and say, I want God moving in my marriage. I need divine authority over my house, but I've got to do it his way. Listen, the only way to get God's results is to do it whose way? His. If you want a biblical result, 100% chance to have a great marriage. 100% chance when you do it his way. What happens when you're like, okay, I'm going to bind things that are going to try to come into my house, and I'm going to loose the truth and reality of who I'm going to be in my marriage, and I'm going to have divine authority through a divine perspective of marriage. Husband and wife, one man and one woman, that's marriage. Man on man, woman on woman, that is not marriage. That is sin. When you come to a place to look at God's perspective, when you come to a place and say, God, divine authority, as a husband, man, I'm going to honor my wife. And I love Ephesians 5. It says to be tender and to nourish. Man, harshness is not going to be a part. Harshness isn't a part of Jesus. Harshness isn't going to be a part of me as the husband. Man, I've got an assignment. Watch this. My assignment as a husband is to love Renee as Christ loved the church, whether she's doing her part or not. Well, I'm not going to love her. She doesn't respect me. Doesn't the Bible say that the woman's supposed to submit? Doesn't the Bible say that she's my helpmate? Doesn't the Bible say that she's supposed to show? She's not doing that. No, you got it wrong. Listen, if you want divine authority in your marriage, my assignment came from Jesus Christ, God Almighty. It didn't come from Renee. So if I'm going to fulfill my assignment, whether Renee's doing her part or not, I'm still going to do my part because my assignment is to him. I need divine authority and I need his perspective for me to run my house in such a way to say, listen, she'll turn. I'm going to love her. I'm going to serve her. I'm going to care for her. I'm going to be tender. I'm going to watch everything I think. I'm going to watch everything that I say. I'm going to watch everything that I do. I'm going to walk in a place to love. How? Just like Christ loved. Why? Because that's assignment. When do you get out of that assignment? I don't. divine authority in your home. Wives, you come to a place to submit to your husbands. If you want your marriage to work, marriage is just not working. This isn't the way I thought it was going to be. This is terrible. What, do you honor your husband? No. You submit to him. Hate that word. I don't think that's good for today. No woman should submit to her man. Good luck. You're crying out for change. You don't have any divine authority. You're not binding and loosing in the sense of through biblical perspective. Isn't it amazing that a woman, the word submitted just simply means, and this is in a marriage series, man, we're just cruising right now. Can we just cruise? Put it on 65 and let's go. Or 72, depends on who's driving. But you come to a place to say, okay, if I want heaven's perspective on my marriage, then I need to walk in a place to be submissive to the head of this house. Ephesians 5:33 says, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And the word respect is that was to show honor and reverence. And it's the same word we use to show respect and fear to God in the same way. But you don't know him. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. I didn't marry him. You did. You got an assignment from God to honor and submit to him and walk in a place of respecting him. And then watch what God will do when you bring divine authority into your home, when you bring a divine perspective into your home and you say, listen, my assignment is to please him first and to do what God's called me to do. My assignment didn't come from my husband. My assignment came. Listen, Sean's not doing his thing. Sean's not loving me like Christ loved the church. Sean's not providing. Sean's not protecting. Listen, I'm going to still do my thing regardless of what Sean's going to do. That man, God will rip his heart apart and he will change and he will return because I'm walking under a divine authority. Church, if you want change and you want a divine change and a divine authoritative change, you have to do it his way. Come on, you come to a place. We have time, just a couple minutes. You come to a place to say, how am I going to parent my kids? Because I love this because we've got to walk out of this place with a different perspective. With a changed perspective, when we're talking about, okay, Jesus, you said you're going to build your church. Gates of hell will not prevail. You will give us that divine authority, but we have to do it your way. Public opinion? No. World opinion? No. Political opinion? No. No. We'll say no twice. Family opinion? If anything is other than God's opinion, man, we cannot function in divine authority if we're doing it anything other than divine perspective. I'm going to raise my kids God's way. And listen, that means that we are called to discipline and raise our kids, not being harsh, not being angry. We're called to discipline. Listen, I grew up in a family that spanked. My mom used the spoon. My dad used the belt. Hey, mom, could you get this over before dad comes home, please? How about that, right? How about that? Mom, you do it. Let's not tell dad and let's move on. I'll be great tomorrow. And listen, that's what Todd would always say. He'd always say, listen, I was the good kid. Like, I got spanked once in my life, I think. I don't even really remember it. But it was my brothers who got spanked all the time. I would laugh at them. It was fun for me to watch. It was great. But honestly, I'm kidding. Mom would use the spoon. Dad would use the belt. And dad would lie to us every time. My godly dad, my father, who I have the utmost respect, he is my hero. And he would lie to us. Sean, this will hurt me more than it hurts you. I don't think so. Get it over with. Let's go. And maybe you've used that, right? This hurts. I've never said that to my kids because it's just not true. This will hurt me right here more than it hurts you right here. I'm like, I don't think so. Reality is a divine perspective. A divine perspective. What does God say about it? What does God say about it? What does God say about it? Because I want to function under his divine authority, and there's power in that. And there's authority in that. And there's change in that. You can change your home. And you can change your marriage by changing your perspective. You can change your parenting by changing your perspective. You can change your finances. People have used this binding and loosing for the finances. I'm going to loose $1 million to my house. I am in debt I'm $100,000 in debt. I'm just going to bind this and I'm going to loose this. No. Actually, we've been foolish with your finances. You've been dumb with your finances. You haven't followed God's principles on finances, on the generous will prosper. You didn't follow God's principles on finances, on reaping and sowing. You didn't follow God's principles on finance, on saving and spending. You didn't follow, but then you just want the Almighty God can do all things bailout, but you've never functioned in a perspective of a divine nature of your perspective financially. So here's what happens. What happens today, right now? Right now, you look at this and say, where has my perspective been more on the world side than on God's side? Wait. Hold on. Where is my perspective when it comes? Watch this now. Be careful. We love all, but we don't accept everything. We love all. What happens when you've got to be bold on same-sex marriage? What happens when you got to be bold? Say, no, wait a minute. God's plan was a man and a woman. That's God's plan, his perspective. You want divine authority in marriage? God says marriage is to be held in honor among all, that amazing place of being priceless and valuable. That is a man and a woman. What happens when you stand firm against abortion? No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is life. God's plan is life. He created our bodies to function in such a way to plant seeds that life comes from that seed. That's God's plan. It's life. What happens when you got to take a stand against abortion? What happens when you got to take a stand against people who want to come in their agenda to just try to burn Bibles and fight hard and come against the truth because it goes against their lifestyle? What happens in your walk with him? You're like, okay, I'm gonna lay aside anything that's to my right or to my left. I'm gonna lay aside popular opinion and public opinion, and I am prepared, if I have to stand alone, I'm gonna stand alone in such a sense of your divine authority and your divine power, because I'm seeing it through your divine perspective, and that's gonna have a divine impact on my life. But you see, if you want a divine impact on your life, you have to believe, God, you will build your church. Gates of hell will not prevail. You will give me the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which is your divine authority. I'm going to walk in a divine perspective, and then I'm going to have a divine result. And when I'm saying I need a divine result in my marriage, I need a divine result in my kids, man, what is it when you're laying hands on your kids and you're praying over your kids and you're moved in such a way at night, you're moved in such a way in the mornings to cry out to God for your family, to cry out to God for your marriage, to cry out to God for your finances, to cry out to God for your kids, God, that you would move on my kids, God, that they would walk healthy in you, God, they would walk in a manner worthy of you, God, they would please you in all respects, everything they think, everything they say, everything they do. God, wreck them if you have to wreck them. Break them if you've got to break them. Have them come to a place to surrender to who you are. God, move them on kids. No weapon formed against them will prosper. Jesus, cover them in your blood. Overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. God, move in such them. Guard them. Protect them. Bless them. Favor them. Move on them. God, your perspective. And if that means you got to break them, break them. God, if they go to the bottom to come to the top, then get to the bottom to come to the top. God, I need your divine authority. I need your divine perspective. And in that, I'll get your divine results. Come on, church. Amen. Woo. Come on, we got to go. Come on, close your eyes. Let's pray. Here we go. We got to bounce. Come on, where are you in this today? And if you don't know Christ, can I say this reality? If you don't know Jesus Christ, honestly, I don't expect you to have a biblical perspective when you don't believe the Bible. It's like asking a painter not to paint. But if you want to come into a place to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then I'm asking you to lay yourself down to a place. And if the Spirit of God is moving in you right now, and you know it right now, God is tugging at your spirit, saying, listen, come. You can't have a biblical perspective if you don't believe the Bible. You can't have divine authority if you don't have the divine. And right now, you can make a choice for Jesus. God Almighty, he loves you desperately. Jesus Christ put himself on a cross for you because he loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And Jesus made it as easy. He said, listen, admit you're a sinner. Believe in me alone. It's only Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody come to the Father but through me. That's what Jesus said. He said, confess and believe. Confess with your mouth me as your Lord. And believe in your heart that the Father raised me from the dead and you shall be saved. But it takes a surrender. It takes a coming to yourself to say, I can't do this on my own. I believe. And Jesus, when he preached, he just simply said, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Call sin, sin. Turn away from sin. Repent from sin. Know that sin equals death. Sin separates us from God. Jesus Christ dealt with that sin so that there will be no more separation between you and him. And all you got to do is come to a place to believe it. Repent and believe. Confess that he is Lord. If you're in this place and you're like, that's me, man, I need this, man. I'm just asking you to pray. Not out loud, but you just pray. You speak to God in this moment. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I repent from my sin. I turn from my sin. I self-admit my sin. I see it, and it has separated me from you. Forgive me. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, you died for me. You are the sacrifice for my sins. And I believe in you. I come to you. I come to you for my salvation. And I confess that you are Lord. I surrender. In this moment right now, I'm laying myself down and I surrender to you. I confess that you are Lord. And I know that you've been raised from the dead. I believe it. I believe it. And in this moment, let your spirit reign within me. Holy Spirit, come in me. That I would be saved. That I would be saved. All heads bowed, man, you're in this place and you're like, man, Sean, this was just one of those deals, man. It's one of them quick days. I had short time to preach, but it got me, man, right to my gut, man. I need to change perspective on some things. Male, female, adult, teenager, or child, you're in this place. And you're like, I need to change my perspective on me as a husband. I need to change my perspective on me as a wife. I need to change my perspective on me as a dad. I need to change my perspective on me as a mom. I need to change my perspective on my finances and where it gives. I need God's blessing, but I got to do it his way. I need my perspective on what the world says is right compared to what God says is right. As Olivia sings, listen, please hear me. I can't change your perspective. I cannot change your perspective. Only you can change your perspective. Divine authority. Through divine perspective, you'll get a divine result. Do you want a divine result in your world and in your day and in your time and in your season of life? If you want a divine result in your season, then it has to be done through divine perspective that comes from divine authority. And as Olivia sings, man, I'm asking that you would stand to your feet and you would come to a place to deal with that and say, God, help me to change my perspective.